I have on the other end of our line founder and curator David Pilgrim. He's going to talk about an interesting new Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia at Fair State University. He's on the end of our line. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. Just trying to wake up.
Well, hey, come in at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then you'll have some serious issues trying to get up.
Okay.
Let's talk about this. Where'd you get the idea for this showcase?
Well, it pretty much just evolved over the years, but one thing that comes to mind is maybe 20 years ago or so, I was at a elderly black woman's home, and she had thousands of pieces, of course, of racist pieces in a garage, actually a barn-type structure. And I remember thinking when I was there that if she had these in some type of historical context, that it would be an incredible teaching tool.
Some interesting pieces among the displays. It has everything from simple ashtrays to fishing lures, a full-size replica of a lynching tree, but they all have a common theme. They're steeped in racisms, and it's so intense that you can really get a lot of reactions and create a lot of dialogue from viewing this, can't you?
Yes, you can. Actually, that's the whole purpose of the museum. We existed in a smaller form for years, but because of the DTE Energy Foundation and some donors, we were able to move into a bigger facility. And people come in and have lots of reactions, but they all learn when they come in, and we are having some of the best discussions about race that you can find anywhere in this country.
All right, tell me, David, when I go through the front doors, take me on a little tour.
Well, first of all, you're introduced to Jim Crow, the man, Jim Crow, the stage character, who was Thomas Rice, who dressed in blackface and mocked African Americans with his stage persona. Then you see some of the segregation memorabilia that the whites only signs and it's sort of where Jim Crow became a synonym for the political oppression of blacks. Then you walk through, you see a big wall of all the signs of, you know, blacks and whites can't do this, and then you hear words where the laws are being read. Then you walk into a section on violence, because you can't talk about the Jim Crow period without talking about violence, and that's where you find the replica tree and three Klans people, a man, woman, and child. But Jim Crow was more than that. It was also all the everyday caricature objects. So then you walk through, stop me when you want me to, but then you walk through the Coon Chicken Inn Porter. Coon Chicken Inn was a restaurant chain in Seattle and Portland and Salt Lake City, and the caricatured face of the black porter was so large that you would walk through his mouth to get into the restaurant. So we recreated that face. So you walk through the mouth, and then you just find thousands and thousands of caricature pieces. But there's also other stuff, and that is there's an African-American achievement section, because African-Americans achieved despite the fact of Jim Crow. And there's a section on the Civil Rights Movement, and there is, of course, a place for dialoguing.
We're talking with David Pilgrim, who is a former psychology professor.
Actually, sociology.
Sociology yes. Professor at Ferris. I never had you. I attended Ferris for a couple of years before I transferred to Michigan State. But I was curious to why you decided to keep the museum up in Big Rapids as opposed to Detroit, Grand Rapids, somewhere else.
Well, you know, people always ask me, like, why is the museum at Ferris State? And my first answer is there because it was possible there. Obviously, it's there because I was there and I was the original owner of the collection, because I donated the first 2,000 pieces. But I think the museum works there. It doesn't have to be in a place that has a heavy concentration of African Americans. And we're updating our web presence, in which case, you know, people from across the world can actually visit the museum via the web. But the short answer is that it's there because I'm there, and it's there because because it was possible there.
I've seen some photos of you, David. You actually are heavily involved with this, that you're teaching and explaining some of the different things people will see in the museum.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an educator, and it sounds trite, corny, but if you're an educator, you got to believe in the triumph of dialogue. If you don't believe discussion matters anymore, you probably shouldn't be in education. And, you know, no matter what people read, it won't simulate the experience of being there. And when people come there, they'll see how easy it is. It's almost automatic that there's a discussion that follows. And we've had a soft opening, you know, even though we're officially not open until, you know, April 26th. But we had a soft opening beginning the first Monday in April because we wanted to learn how to use the new facility. So I've had the opportunity to walk with tours and to, you know, talk to people one-on-one about it. I am telling you, and I've always believed that images of intolerance could be used to teach tolerance. But, I mean, I really know that they can be used to promote social justice because I'm seeing it every day.
David, I recently sat back and listened to an interesting conversation at a function that I was at, and there was probably more than 10 people involved, but the topic was, is racism still prevalent in the United States here in Michigan? Is it still a challenge? And I heard some say, no, it's not that big a deal. That's in the past history. Why make people here in the future pay for that? That minorities don't need, and especially African Americans don't need help in getting into school or with special financial aid because those days are gone. But people from the other side of the argument said, no, it's still here. It's still a challenge, and even though it happened many, many years ago, it still hurts. What's your perspective on that?
Well, race still matters in the U.S. I mean, it is the case that America is a more democratic, more egalitarian society than it was in the past. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the fact is, race still matters. And a person who deals with racial imagery the way I do and who collects the images, they see the evidence of that. So when there is a race-based incident that occurs anywhere in the nation, within 2 or 3 days, there are material objects being produced and distributed. Look at all the material objects that have been produced about President Obama. We have a section in the museum that just shows images about President Obama. So the racist imagery still exists, but maybe more important than that, I mean, blacks are still disproportionately in poverty, disproportionately unemployed, underemployed, disproportionately in prison. So to say that race does not matter is just to not be accurate.
We've been talking with the founder and curator, David Pilgrim, about his Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia. It's at Fair State University. David, if people want to go online and take a look, and if they want to gather times and buy tickets to come up and see the memorabilia, how do they do that?
Well, they don't have to buy tickets. We're going to be the one free museum in the world.
Holy cow!
Yeah, we're going to be a free museum in the world. But in terms of the web presence, we have a website, even though we're updating it. It's still online. And all they have to do is just type www.ferris.edu/Jim Crow, or just go to Google and just Google the words Jim Crow, and they'll find it. For the last couple of weeks, we've been open from 12 to 5 every day. We've just been trying to gauge the demand, you know, figure out, you know, do we need to be open at these hours or these hours? So my sense is we're going to have to increase the amount of hours that we're open.
That's a good thing.
That is a good thing. You know, there's staffing issues, but yeah, that is a good thing.
All right, David, we will stay in contact. I'd like to talk to you more specifically about some of the specific pieces that you have, so we'll be in contact with you again. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.